Hello, and welcome to the Live Printing Impressions and Implant Graphics webinar, Moving Beyond Lean to Global Optimization, sponsored by EFI. I'm Bob Neubauer, editor of Implant Graphics Magazine and the host of today's event. Before we get started, let me mention a few quick tips to help you make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, click the Help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or use the Q&A box to let us know. You can also use that Q&A box to submit questions to our panelists. We'll be addressing them at the end of the hour, but you can send them to us at any time. Turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so you can utilize all of the controls on this console, and click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn how to better use this console and how to customize your experience today. Our speakers today are Udi Ariely, Senior Director of Product Management, Printflow, and Digital Workflows at EFI, and James Pilcher, Vice President of Manufacturing and General Manager at Freeport Press in Freeport, Ohio. So we're going to start today with Udi Ariely, who has devoted his life to bringing automation to the printing industry. A third-generation print business owner and a former president of the Printing Industry Small Business Association of Israel, Udi and his team have developed the Theory of Global Optimization, or TGO, as the foundation of EFI's Printflow Dynamic Scheduling, smart software designed to optimize workflow within a printing facility. But TGO has transcended scheduling and the shop floor and become a philosophy for end-to-end management and production workflow process improvement. Considered an expert in the field and one of the visionaries of the industry, Udi has written numerous articles and has lectured widely about intelligent automation, TGO, and the importance of synchronization and optimization tools. So here to tell us more, I'd like to introduce Udi Ariely. Welcome.
Hi, everyone. I hope you can hear me. Thank you for coming to this webinar. And we want to talk today about moving beyond lean to global optimization. So let's start, and hopefully we'll have some fun as well. So all of us want to increase our profitability. Who doesn't? But it's not that easy. There are lots of difficulty to increasing profitability. So what are the obstructions? We have a lot more jobs that we have to do for the same revenues. Organic growth is very difficult. If you want to try and raise prices, in most cases it's not possible. We can't just raise our prices. And of course the processes that we are using are changing all the time. We are moving to digital processes, etc. So it's not easy, and we have lots of obstructions to increase profitability. So what can we do? What's the reality? The best option, of course, that left to us is to improve our performance, to improve our efficiency, to increase our throughput. In short, to accomplish more with the same exact resources. So how do we do it? How can we do it? So many companies are actually choosing technologies to solve the issues, to try and get to better profitability. The question is new technologies enough, or should we do something else or something more? So let's see. If we buy more automatic equipment, that alone does not ensure a profit growth. Digital processes are really faster, but people don't know that they are much harder to manage. You don't see them, many small jobs, many reasons. Many people thought that the silver bullet that they were looking for is in SIM or JDF. And SIM and JDF are definitely positive steps, but they are not the silver bullet in many cases or most cases. They also introduce their own issues and their own hidden constraints. So one solution is the theory of global optimization. TGO maximizes what we can get out of our technology improvements. So How do we do it? How do we maximize our technologies, the effect of technologies, the benefit of technologies? We first of all have to act according to the global view of the company. We have to see what is the global view and what is good for the company. We have to optimize and synchronize all area of production, not just a certain cost center. We have to identify and resolve weak links and constraints. We have to know at all the time, at all times, where the constraints are, where the weak links are. And of course, we have to use software and production equipment that is all integrated, automated, and employ new smart software that makes decisions for us. So let's talk for a second about lean manufacturing. I'm sure a lot of you have done some lean initiative. Do you know how long lean have been around? I don't see your faces, but maybe some of you will be surprised. Over 200 years, lean is in existence, not in the name of lean, but the lean theory and philosophy. Each major leap forward was a result of an innovative thinker. So let's look a little bit about the history. Let's check the history. The first one, Eli Whitney, interchangeable parts, 200 years ago. Henry Ford, you know, lean. Edward Deming, just in time. I'm sure you heard of him. Japan would not be what it is today, and Toyota, if it wasn't for Edward Deming and his theories. Eli Goldratt wrote the book The Goal, Constraint Manufacturing, Theory of Constraints. And myself, not to compare me to everyone else, Udi Ariely, Global Optimization, Printing, TGO, the theory of global optimization, especially for the printing industry. So let's compare for a second the different theories. So lean mostly focuses on eliminating waste and reduce cycle time. TOC, theory of constraint, of Eli focuses on system constraints and the major constraint in the company. But neither of these two theories have printing industry focus. They don't have job shop manufacturing focus, which printing industry is part of it. So that's not good enough. Neither focuses on global view. They don't talk about the global view. Neither focus on global optimization. They don't optimize the whole manufacturing process and all the business processes as well as the production processes. Neither have embedded their theories in a practical, successful software product. They don't have a product and a theories that goes together so you can implement the product and therefore implement the theory with it, or the theory helps the product, product helps the theory. TGO is the next iteration of these theories, leveraging smart software to create a global view, optimizing management and production processes for profit improvement. So we go from lean to TOC to TGO. So a little bit about the foundation principle of TGO. A manufacturing operation is a chain of interdependent links. Only a few constraints control the throughput, on-time delivery, and cost of the entire printing operation. Identify and remove the constraints, and you increase throughput and profit. What I'm trying to say here is, as you all know, in the printing industry, all our manufacturing processes, or most of them, are in serial. Very few are in parallel. So that means that a few constraints on one job can delay or disturb this job and at the same time many other jobs that you need to manufacture. So not simple. So I want to, TGO is a big theory. As you heard at the beginning, Bob said what I did, me and my group, we have developed TGO for many years. And I just want to talk about the most important building blocks of TGO. So let's start. TGO collects information and provides tools to make your business proactive, not reactive. Very, very important to be proactive. It understands that printing business must be operated from a global view with global thinking. Silos must be eliminated. You cannot have silos in your company. You have to know the global view. TGO utilizes your job plans and information collected in real time to identify constraints before they have negative impact on your business. TGO organizes work based on literally thousands of pieces of information, providing a solid plan for action, a solid schedule that it gives you. Maximizing throughput and capacity utilization, leveraging, not always eliminating, bottlenecks. You have to make sure that you manage your capacity utilization and not necessarily eliminating bottlenecks. Did you understand that processes, equipment, and product mix are constantly changing, requiring the constant innovation of the workflow process? Did you understand that to maximize performance, the system, the software, must be smart enough to recognize and respond to objective indicators? Global optimization requires the management of all resources in the office and on the shop floor, maximizing your return throughout the workflow. To accomplish this, we require a system that is not limited by department, a system that promotes and demands end-to-end teamwork. There's nothing like teamwork to improve your company. And the more that the team knows about TGO, the better your company will become. To this end, TGO must be defined as company-wide effort. It's a total company effort, not one department or one cost center. So I want to go and give you one example. Preflow. Preflow dynamic scheduling is not just an example of TGO. It's where the development of the theory began. Me and my software team were looking for a way to improve the scheduling process. We needed something different than what had ever done before with scheduling. It had to be smart software. So we developed the theory of global optimization, TGO, and used it to build Printflow. So let's look for a second how and what Printflow can do for you in just a few bullet points. First of all, Printflow is automated. It's smart scheduling. It makes decisions for you. You don't have time and can't make all the decisions yourself. Printflow will optimize and synchronize your entire plant. Not just one call center or the constrained call center, but every call center from A to Z, the total workflow. Many visual interfaces are available for employees to find the information that they need. Printflow will build smart scenario for weekly ink analysis. Printflow has unlimited what if capabilities. You can ask questions from Printflow. Printflow gives you answers before they happen, so you can be reactive. Real-time run list and real-time updates to all cost centers. So the schedule gets everywhere. And of course, Primflow integrates with the MIS and ShopFlow data collection as part of the end-to-end smart workflow. I'm sure you are familiar with this picture, and I've seen it many times. When you see this picture, when I see it and I come to a company, I always hope that they'll never, they won't have too much wind and all the little pieces of paper and tags will fall because they'll never be able to recover. Each tag is a disconnected database. The information is not shared, it's not updated in real time, and cannot respond to movement of other tags. Of course, what if scenario are totally not possible. So if you look here, on the left is the before, the right is after here, the automatic intelligent scheduling, and Primflow and the MIS will create the tags automatically for you. You don't have to do it based on your planning. Primflow automatically will optimize the workflow and the business rule you put in. So you control how Primflow is working. It's not that Primflow works automatically for you in the same way for every one of you. You put the rules and that's what Primflow will follow. And of course it will deliver the run list to all call centers. You can do the what-if capabilities and much, much more. So now I want to go to the EFI TGO end-to-end automation. As Bob has mentioned, we have done a total workflow, not just a Primflow. So here is a EFI end-to-end workflow automation. We're not going to cover every piece of this graph, but you can, as I'm speaking, you can follow it and look at it and understand what does it include. So end-to-end workflow automation, EFI has advanced the principle of TGO with smart software creating an EFI ecosystem, connecting and optimizing processes from your client's desktop to production and shipping. We took some of the principle of Primflow and introduced them in many other products in the workflow. So please look at the slide. We can follow a job from the left-hand side of the screen. I can't point where it is generated in digital storefront on the left. On your client desktop and passes to your EFI MIS, that's the next step on the slide, to your EFI MIS solution where you use Primflow dynamic scheduling as the heart of our end-to-end workflow. From the MIS, the job can be handed off to EFI Fiery to prepare for production. You can see there in red, it says Fiery. Or to a certified JDF workflow and AutoCount direct machine interface to monitor and report on progress. The workflow is completed with SmartLink shipping software, EFI mailing software, or PrintStream for warehousing and fulfillment. The smart software and automation points integrate, automate, and optimize your business. The elimination of one touch point on one job might save you from a few dollars to many. When you systematically eliminate multiple touches on almost every job, the savings are huge, and you can repeat the process. As you can see on this graph, I can point for you, look everywhere where it says at the bottom, smart software, and that is where all the touch points that are automatic workflow moves out or eliminate totally or almost totally, and because of it, the savings are huge. So I want to show you, to demonstrate to you, just one job going through the automatic EFI end-to-end workflow. So let's start. Let's see what happens. So we started with the client entering the job specification and the files. That is transmitted to the MIS, and the job spec and files arrive at the MIS. Next steps, the MIS takes all the information received from the client and automatically build a job plan and a schedule. Totally automatic. Very important. Next step, the MIS prepare the job ticket and all the information needed and send it to EFI, Fiery Central, and Fiery to rip the job and prepare it for the printer. The job then send from the Fiery to the engine, to the print engine, and as the print engine starts working, it sends the information back to the MIS, information like a status, like costing, like invoicing, and a lot more. Then the MIS send back status data, invoice, history, and much more to the website so the client can see it. Next step, if the client wants, he can send payments, reorder through the website. The benefits of this EFI automatic end-to-end workflow is huge. The list goes on and on. So first of all, repeatable reduction of touches at all jobs, and you can do it again and again. Improved communication, more accurate records, real-time status, real-time information, improve capacity utilization and throughput, help SprintFlow to do the optimization, improve global view, and improve business data for daily operation. These are just some of the points of some of the benefits, but the benefits, the list of benefits is huge. And people that are using it are keep telling us all the time about the amazing benefits that they are getting out of this EFI automatic workflow, end-to-end workflow. So I want to talk to you for a second about TGO. TGO attacks many long-held industry myths by which we run our businesses and make decisions. The question is, can you identify myth from fact? So let's start. The customer comes first. Let's have fun with it. Is it a myth or a fact? Unfortunately, I can't hear you shouting. Some probably shouting myth, some fact. So let's see. It's a myth. Why? Yes, customers are very important to our business. We can't live without our customers. But up to a point, we have to realize that any accommodation that we do for one customer will impact many other customers and can affect our profitability, on-time delivery, etc. What we need to think about is the wider perspective of the plant should prevail over the narrow focus of a single job, call center, or customer. We have to do what's good for the company, not just what's good for a customer or one call center, or one job, etc. So, yes, customers are important, but they don't always come first, and we have to think about it within the global view. Myth number two. By the way, we're only showing you few here. There are many myths, but we're only showing you a few. Greater productivity and efficiency in a call center equals more throughput and higher profit, which means the faster equipment that you have, the better you are. Is it a myth or a fact? It's a myth. high efficiency or productivity in the individual cost, in individual cost center, not necessarily to higher profit. It all depends on constraints and other things. Equipment speed only translates to profitability when the impact of its performance can be carried throughout the production process. And so you have to go around weak links and constraints and to optimize everything, and then the equipment will affect the bottom line, the profitability of the company. The last one, bottlenecks hinder profitability. They create waste and slow down throughput. Is it a myth or a fact? Again, it's a myth. We have always learned from many consultants and many articles that bottlenecks should be eliminated whenever you find them in your company. Not true. Bottlenecks are good for your company as long as they do not become a constraint. We call them cues. So we need to learn how to manage bottlenecks, and actually we use in TGO and PrimFlot bottleneck to decrease make readies and switchovers and to improve profitability. So now I would like to turn the microphone back to Bob, and Bob is going to introduce a customer of mine, of ours, that I'm happy that he is here today, and Bob is going to ask him some questions. I hope it will be interesting. I'm sure it will.
Well, thanks very much, Udi. And you got me on a couple of those myths and facts. Probably got a few others, too. So now we're going to bring in James Pilcher, who has some real-world experience with TGO. James joined Freeport Press in 1999 as production scheduler and has been actively involved in all areas of production, from scheduling and estimating to running production departments and plant operations. He was promoted to general manager in 2003 and to vice president of operations in 2007. James' experience includes implementing various systems and workflow tools with a strong focus on optimizing production processes. He has extensive experience in project management and has been heavily involved in the purchase and installation of all plant production equipment and systems, including the EFI Monarch Print MIS and EFI PrintFlow dynamic scheduling software. Located in Freeport, Ohio, Freeport Press specializes in high-quality short-run niche publications and catalogs and is noted for its innovative business practices, continued investment in technology, employee development and training, and the strategic implementation of systems and process controls. So, James, welcome to the webinar today.
Hey, thanks, Bob.
Well, first off, can you tell us a little bit more about Freeport Press? I kind of glossed over it there, but, yeah, let us know a little bit more.
Sure. So Freeport Press, we're a $35 million printing operation. We primarily work in three distinct markets. It's short-run publication, high-quality catalogs, and the direct mail segment. We've got about 136 full-time employees here in our operation, and that's basically from ownership to the newest employee on the floor. And again, as I said, about $35 million in sales.
Excellent. And and I just wanted to throw in one thing before we continue. Keep in mind that you can ask questions at any time using that Q&A box. So if things come to your mind while we're talking here, feel free to send them in. So James, you've heard Udi talk here today about the potential benefits that TGO can bring to a printing operation, and your company's a real live example of all this. So can you describe your operation before and then after implementing TGO?
So I would say we started really grasping and understanding the concept of TGO probably in about the 2007, late 2007, early 2008 time frame. That kind of corresponded with implementation of the Monarch workflow system that we were in process of preparing to implement. We'd seen Udi and met Udi and talked to Udi at a couple of events and really found what he had to say interesting. So prior to implementing TGO, our plant was, just a very normal plant. I mean, it would have looked like a plant from, the 1980s, very mechanical, very manual. We had a lot of staff in here. We probably, ended up hovering around the 170 employee mark, and we're probably, you know, pushing about $18.5 million in sales at that point. So it's just a very mechanical process here. Not a lot of automation really in any aspect of our business, either on hardware or on software. So really after implementing TGO, and implementing TGO is kind of an interesting to say because for me, TGO and really the things that we do here at Freeport, there's no kind of final completion date for an implementation because you're, again, being proactive, not reactive as business changes and markets change and equipment changes and processes change. Using TGO and really kind of understanding the principles that guide TGO, there really is no start and end of that project. It just kind of gets built and ingrained into your culture, and we've been very fortunate that we've been able to do that here at Freeport. So since then, again, obviously, you know, if you say pre-2007, 2008, the printing industry's changed a lot since then. So what we've been able to do is, you know, navigate with those changes in the industry. We've been able to continue to improve our operation. We've been able to streamline our workflow. We've been able to push massive amounts of volume through our operation with very little additions to staff or adds to staff. So today, you know, we're doing probably almost double the volume and with probably 30 less employees than we had at our peak.
Wow, so it was, you said 170 at the peak and then down to 135 now?
Yeah, 136.
36, yeah. But just something that occurs to me when you say that, did the implementation of TGO, I mean, what was employee reaction? Is that a factor? Was there any resistance?
Well, it comes down to, for us at least, really building it into the culture and what we do here. So we've really developed, and it's a long process to do it, but we've developed a culture of change in our organization. TGO is definitely a part of that, and I think getting our management team primarily to understand that and accept that and to think, you know, more about maximizing throughput through our entire process rather than, you know, as Udi calls them, silos, working in those interdepartmental silos and things like
right.
that. I think that was probably one of the biggest keys for our success with that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely important to do it that way. Well, where has automation and TGO had the biggest impact on your business?
Well, it's had impacts in a number of areas of our business. Again, you know, I think if you talk to a lot of different people in our operation, they tell you, that it's had an impact in different segments of our business and operations here. So I'm a numbers guy, so, you know, I go, you know, right to where I feel like it's the most important. So for me, the biggest impact on our business has been on our bottom line. But in other areas of business, it's been in, you know, hiring decisions, equipment decisions, how we staff, how we schedule crewing and people. It's just impacted every area of our business. But again, you know, if you said the biggest impact, definitely on the bottom line. I mean, that's where it matters. So.
Yeah. Oh. So how important would you say an ongoing automation strategy is to the long-term success of your business?
At Freeport, it's pretty important. You know, I think we are always looking to automate as much as we can. You know, and that's with smart automation, not automation just for the sake of automation, but automation where we're going to do, you know, a few key things, and that's going to be to reduce touch points in our operation, which is going to eliminate errors, mistakes, potential errors, reworks, things like that, where we're going to drive cost out of the production process. It's automation in manufacturing equipment, and that's when it makes sense and when there's a true return on investment. And when there's a true increase of throughput for that piece of equipment and where it increases the throughput for the entire operation. So I think it's kind of multifaceted for us. It has to work really in each of those areas. You know, we're going to automate where we can with software, and we've done that really since 2007 with the implementation of the Monarch Suite and with all the products that we use, whether it's, you know, salesperson entering a quotation into our system where they're not having to do extra work, and we can get that in and estimate it quickly. Really end-to-end in our operation, so where we're managing counts on the floor on every major piece of equipment through the auto count system, where we're getting real-time updates into scheduling, to where we're getting, you know, basically even the ability to pull up every work center on my phone and see, you know, every component in our operation, how it's running, is it running to peak performance, and how we're performing. So, you know, straight through the shipping and distribution. So everything in our plant really is interconnected. The nice thing is the model we've built today here at Freeport is a great business model. It's proven to work very well for us. Probably the best part of it for us is really that it's very scalable now. So we have ambitious plans for growth here. We plan on continuing to bring in new business and increase our volume. And with that, we're hoping to add additional manufacturing capabilities and equipment. But the reality is the infrastructure that we need to do that really is built, and it really is scalable. So we're going to be able to do all of those things in the future here, really without a lot of reengineering of processes and a lot of additions of staff and people. Really, we aren't going to have to do much of that at all. So that's really where we see the biggest benefit.
All right. Yeah, you've had some amazing results there. I'm sure a lot of the people listening are interested in how they can make it work for themselves. So if you could give a word of advice to someone who's working on automation strategy, what would that be?
Well, you know, I can only base it on our experience here. And at Freeport here, we started early, and we initially started with software and workflow, just because it didn't have the capital expense and cost of going out and retooling a press room or things like that. So we really focused in on workflow and software early on, and that was really in that 2007-2008 time frame. That was a big key for us. And again, we've seen a lot of people that have tried to implement software systems and packages. We've had a lot of printers that have been on site that have come to Freeport to see how we use software and things like that. Probably the best piece of advice I could give them would be to, you know, to truly think globally. It kind of round back into what PGO does. I mean, the software is a great, great tool that allows people to accomplish those goals, but the goals really need to be based in PGO. It needs to be all about maximizing the throughput of your operation to generate the absolute maximum amount of revenue that you can generate and sales that you can push through that pipe. And the software applications and the workflow tools and systems are great tools that allow you to do that, but you have to think globally. And a lot of times people seem to get hung up on, you know, the old way or an old mentality on how you need to do business. And really you have to think differently, I think. And so I've always been a big fan of UDI's. I always, every time I go to Connect, I attend one of the sessions on PGO, and you know, we believe it, and it's proven itself out for us here, so that'd be my advice.
Nice. Well, that is great. Well, we really appreciate your comments and your perspectives here today. I think I wanted to bring Udi back in. Are you ready there, Udi? We're going to have
yes,
a few final words. And just also keep in mind, we have a few questions coming in, but
yes,
go ahead and send some more in, and I'll turn it back over to you, Udi.
Okay, Bob, thank you. James, thank you. James, thank you. It was great to hear your opinion about EFI products, about PrimFlow, about Monarch, about TGO. So that's really very rewarding. Of course, we work very hard for our customers, so it's nice to hear that the customers are getting so much benefits of what we are doing. We put our heart into it. So I almost finished here. I just want to read to you what Joe from NAPL said. He said something similar to what James said. The biggest threat to the industry means is not the recession or China or anything else, but the complacency, the status quo, and assuming that what worked yesterday will work tomorrow. We need TGO. So definitely that is the case. You can't just think, as Jim said, that what worked for me in 2007 will work for me now, like for him. So they made the change. So here is a list. We don't have the time to go over it right now, over this list. And I love the quote that Joe said about the biggest threat is the complacency and the status quo, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that everyone should go to TGO because now you have an option and you can do something about it, and like many of our customers. So we have a checklist that we created, how you can make it happen. We don't have time to go over it today, but we are going to send you an email to all the participants later with more information about this list and what you can do about it and how you can get more education and how you can learn more about EFI products and NTGO. I just want to tell you that we are going to do some additional webinar. So here you have three webinar. We are going to send it to you in a link so you can go and register to each one of these seminars. These seminars are going to increase your knowledge and your knowledge about other products and about the total automated workflow at EFI, et cetera. So I invite you to come and learn from all of this webinar. We also have Connect, so all our customers, anyone is the customer here, is of course invited to go, to come to Connect and participate in over 120 or 30 seminars that we have at Connect. And as you heard from James, whenever he comes to Connect, he goes to the seminars, not just mine, but others, so very interesting. So that is my part, and now we're going to go to questions.
Okay, good. Well, again, I want to encourage you to send in any questions that you have in your head, and we'll answer them here. There's a few that have come in. The first one, this came in prior to the webinar, but a couple people asked about this, so I might as well throw it out here right away. People want to know about cost. What will it cost our company to automate with smart software? Can you give any idea of what we're looking at here?
There's no way to give a cost. It depends on the company. It depends what product, what you have now, what you need. Not everyone needs everything. It depends on the size of the company. It depends what software. EFI has a lot of variety of software, not just one MIS. It depends. Are you in packaging? Are you in commercial print? Are you in digital? So I can't, of course, in this webinar give any prices, but it's very a lot. But the fact is that we know that the return on investment is extremely fast, and in our opinion, it's really a must-have for companies. So if you need more information, maybe in the email that we send you, I'm sure there probably will be a link to our sales department that they can come, they can do, they have to do a study of your company, and then we can find out what the price will be.
Sure. A question just came in looking for, related to cost. How about justifying the cost to, you know, the people making the decisions? What are some things you could point out to help people do that?
So I want James to answer it probably better than me. I just want to say before, James, that the list of ROIs are huge, and we have a list like this, what is the ROI. But James, do you want to help me here?
Sure. So in regards to implementing TGO through software, is that really the question?
No, the question is, how do they justify it?
Okay. So really, I mean, you know, again, the exercise that you know, you always have a software provider like EFI, who's a great partner of HISE. I mean, they're going to come in and they're going to have a return on investment model. And they, and again, that I always find those to be challenging because you're trying to figure out, you know, nobody knows your business like, you know your business. So I think that the real key in understanding what you can expect as far as a return on investment from a project of PGO through software really is, really comes down to understanding your business and understanding where you're efficient, where you're not, where you have excess waste, whether it's production planning waste or it's process waste, where you're maybe have excessive overhead. And I think it's really kind of trying to put out a blueprint map. There's certain components to these systems where there's a very real and physical return on investment. Perhaps you're going to be, you know, the AutoCount is an example. That's a software application that's easy for us to put an ROI on and very provable. It's very solid. The rest of the systems and the rest of the things that you're going to do in your business, it really is going to come down to how are you structured today, how much overhead do you have today, and how much of that waste can you eliminate through your process. So, and software can be challenging. I mean, a lot of people, I view software and a lot of people do as infrastructure, and infrastructure traditionally doesn't have a great return on investment like maybe a piece of equipment does if you're updating a slower machine with a faster machine or things like that. But infrastructure is absolutely necessary if you're going to continue to be in this business and if you're going to continue to not only survive but thrive in this business. You have to make good long-term strategic investments. You have to have successful implementation, and I think that's where most people struggle with getting their return on investment is they struggle or fail at implementation, and they don't generate the return on investment that they should with the software application. To me, it really comes down to implementation. I think if you implement correctly, if you know where you are starting from and you can identify where your true costs are, you can build a plan around these tools to manage those costs well. And I obviously am a firm believer that you can come up with a strong return on investment and that it's worth the time, the energy, and investment to do it. So I hope that answered. It was kind of a long answer, but.
Mm-hmm. I know you had said that there's really no final implementation date because of continually changing processes, but someone did ask how long did the implementation take, and I guess we could interpret that as being, you know, until you got to from the beginning until you got to a point where you really felt it was working. How long would that
sure.
have been?
So we implemented an entire software package from EFI, and we implemented in 2007. We were an early adopter of the package that's now called Monarch. I think we were like the third system that they sold, and we were probably one of their first truly successful go-lives with it. And I would say just getting the base software, we brought up components of the systems at different times. So we brought up different portions of it probably over about a nine-month time period. And I would say within that 9 months, probably about 80% of our core business systems, whether it was estimating, inventory management, shop floor data collection, accounting, job planning, all of those things and scheduling were basically in that 80%. Those were all within 9 months up and operational and, you know, fully on their own. Different components we were able to bring up sooner. Other components, due to the complexity of the install, startup, and fine-tuning of the system to make the automation work, some of those components took longer. Printflow is an example, is a probably the crown jewel of the workflow system, in my opinion. It's a great, great product. It's a pretty massive implementation, and there's a lot of setup that goes into it. And, you know, as a printer, there's two things we don't like to mess with. We don't like to mess with our pricing, so estimating's important, and we definitely don't like to mess with our schedule. So those are really the two hot-button issues, so we took quite a bit of time with both of those components, bringing those up to speed. But I feel like when we brought those up and we continue to refine those things, they just get better and better and have a tremendous impact on our business. So, again, it is never done. you know, we implement new products as they come out. So we do a workflow product from EFI, you know, as they come out. Probably we've probably implemented, you know, at least one new thing or two new things a year since 2007 as they come out and they're available. So we're always looking for any way to streamline our operation to you know, take touch points out of our business. So anytime we see opportunity to do that, we're going to jump in and do that.
How large was the implementation team?
On our team, we did start out with a team, and that's probably the best way to do it. So we kind of had champions over different components. And again, so if we're specifically talking about EFI, we probably had maybe six different people that really headed up different components of the system. We had representation from finance, from operations, from job planning and customer service, strong IT support. And we really started our implementation that way, and we launched it kind of in that model. And I would say we ran that way and really functioned with kind of that team approach and really kind of that divide and conquer mentality, really for about the first year and a half, almost 2 years that we were running the system. Really after about 2 years, we felt like we had a strong enough handle on our internal control process. We didn't have any of the issues that, you know, we felt sprung up at the early implementation. And again, the system was very, very new when we purchased it. Again, we were the third people to buy this, so I'm sure we had a lot more challenges than what people have today with the implementation because the software is so much more integrated than when we purchased it. But we really, after about the year and a half, 2 years, focused down to where we just have one core person in our business whose title is workflow manager, mm-hmm. and he really is the system admin for all of our front-end workflow software. And so he basically deals with new implementation, new products. He does a lot of train-the-trainer type programs internally here, and he's kind of our day-to-day or our contact with EFI if you know, we get a new release and we need to go through something, whatever.
Good. Well, this question was asked in a couple different ways by different people. So for either of you, any ideas to help break down those silos that are ingrained in the culture of the company?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean,
okay, go on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go on, James. Prepare you to answer. You are the customer.
Okay. Sorry about that. For us, it was, you know, it's definitely, it's got to be top-down and driven top-down through the organization. So, you know, workflow projects are definitely probably the most challenging project and implementation that I feel like you can do in this business. It's not like putting in a press where you have a clean start date, an end date, you have factory support and training, and then you're off running and you know, you're making money. Workflow is really, you know, you're affecting how every single person in your operation does their day-to-day job. And so you're moving everybody's cheese. So that gets to be challenging. So I think, you know, having top-down leadership and truly, you know, an expectation and setting that expectation that that this is what we're going to do to move our company forward, to have that team built and really get buy-in out of that main implementation team is critical to make good, smart, global decisions. And again, this is where I see implementation struggle. People seem to get hung up on making a new system or new workflow do what their old system or old workflow used to do. And so you really need to tear down what you do and kind of rebuild your workflow from the ground up. And so, you know, we did process mapping early on. We basically looked at what it took from order entry and sales to get a job through our plant and operation all the way out through delivery, and we process mapped that. And then as we started to implement new components of workflow, we figured out how to accomplish the same end result, but maybe through different means. And so we eliminated paperwork, and we eliminated who got what information, and we eliminated we tried to kill as much redundant processes as we could to our operation. So And by doing that, you naturally get a buy-in from the employees on the floor that they see that you're not trying to create additional work, you're not doing this for the sake of just creating a new project, but you really are trying to give them a benefit of the new workflow by taking things off of their plate and by making their job easier. So I think that's the challenge, and I think that's the challenge and mission of management in the organization. I mean, your job is to not only get the work out, but to build that culture internally in your company to where people understand what you're trying to accomplish and they want to be on the team and help you accomplish that. So.
James, yeah. I just want to make a comment here. James, you really took, from what I can see, you took most of TGO and you implemented it, both in the implementation phase, in the design phase, and then in the practical run of your company. You really took, and I think we are all proud, very proud that you really did it. We have quite a few customers that have done it, and the results are the same. So it's very nice to see, and it's nice to hear you explaining it, how you did all of it.
In the process of implementation, did you take or what snapshots? Somebody used that term. Were taken as a baseline with which to compare before and after implementation. And are there any that were a little unorthodox that might have proved to be instrumental?
That's a pretty big question. I mean. Again, so much has changed in our business and in this industry since before we really started to implement TGO in our workflow. I think it's hard to make a 100% direct correlation between past and present. I mean, everything we do in our operation is different today than what it was in 2007. A lot of that is because of how we've been able to manage our business and what that's allowed us to be able to do as a manufacturer. So, just as an example for us, we don't run one piece of manufacturing equipment in our operation that we ran in 2007. There's not a lot of people that can say that. But we've been able to do that. We've been able to do that because we've been able to increase throughput. We've been able to lower costs. We've been able to, increase profitability by just simply pushing more work through our pipe without as many touches and by eliminating reworks and errors and things like that. And we've been able to compete in a much, much more competitive market, So it's hard to really compare the two. I just know that for us, it was really the launching pad and the starting ground for us that gave us the information we needed to have a fully integrated workflow system where we could get great reporting and metrics out of that and to where we could use that data to help make informed decisions about our business. So that was really key for us.
Good. A quick question. Someone asked, and I know you went over this when we spoke before, about your revenue before and after implementation. I believe it was 18.5 prior to 2007 and up to 35 now. Did I get that right? 35 million?
Yeah, that's about right. And again, we would float around. We implemented TGO and started implementing TGO, I'd say. I wouldn't say we implemented it. We're still implementing it every day. But we started thinking with the TGO concept in this plant really in 07.
Mm-hmm.
And we get better every year. Doing it and understanding our business and understanding what makes our business work and what makes it better. In 08 we started doing some pretty massive infrastructure and equipment projects in our operation. And then, in the end of 08 and beginning of 09, I think everybody who's probably on this conference call knows that, hey, those were tough times to be a printer, So we took our lumps like everybody else out there and we lost a big chunk of sales volume like everybody else did. Our sales probably dropped close to 20% over a six-month period. But the reality of it is if we were the pre-2007 Freeport Press, there's probably a very realistic possibility that that we wouldn't be in business today. We went through that tough time for the economy. And that's really, I believe, the operation and the way we run the business and really having a true global viewpoint on our operation and then making smart investments in technology were really the things that got us through the recession. And today, you know, we're thriving. We've had last year was our strongest fiscal year out of the last 15 years. I don't think that's pretty uncommon.
Well, it's been great to hear of your experiences here, and it's also been wonderful to hear from you, Udi. But it looks like we are about out of time for today.
Yes.
Let me just close things here and say that on behalf of Printing Impressions, Implant Graphics, and our sponsor, EFI, I want to thank you all for attending today's webinar. Be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archived and upcoming webinars. And also, if you would just take a minute to fill out the brief feedback survey that will appear on your screen next, we'd be very grateful. Your feedback will influence our future webinars. So from all of us, thanks again for participating, and I hope to see you at the next Printing Impressions and Implant Graphics webinar.